I do appreciate all of your prayers. I don't have a lot of thoughts today. You know, my desire is not to do this really, you know, to be honest. But it's not about our desire. It's not about us. And I want to walk close to the Lord. You know, the message this morning about Moses walking by the bush and being able to see it and to hear from God. And to me, that is a precious thing to have, a relationship with God where you can hear from Him and you can be close to Him in an intimate way. And that's what I want. I want to be so close to the Lord that I can hear from Him and know where He's leading me and know where He's directing me. And be sensitive to His Spirit to know when to speak and when to shut up. And it takes a close relationship with God to have that. And I was just thinking about some things, and this morning we had a testimony after the service or after the message that I think kind of goes along with what I have here tonight. And it's really what it takes to have that kind of relationship. It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost to be close with God, to be intimate with the Lord, to have that fellowship with Him. It comes at a cost. And so I just want to start by looking into the book of Acts. I have some very familiar scriptures for you that I'm sure you've heard many a times, and perhaps my thoughts will be somewhat different than maybe what you've heard so far. But I want to look in Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read 1 through 11. Well, actually, you know what, let's go ahead and go to the previous chapter in verse 34. It says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price of his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast lied unto men? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I think about this passage, and you look in the last part of chapter 4, and how they were, the church was, as she put it this morning, sold out to the point where they were selling their possessions and living off of what was given. And they were united in such a way that was, I mean, none like we really see. And their hearts were fixed on serving God to the utmost. And then you have Ananias and Sapphira. And you look at what they were doing, and I don't know what was going on in their minds. You know, I can't speculate. I mean, I could try to speculate as to what they were thinking and what they were doing and why they did what they did and what circumstances surrounded it. But you see that everyone was giving up all. And then they came along, and I don't know, maybe they made a commitment to the Lord. Maybe they said that they would do the same. And perhaps the land sold for more than they thought and thought, well, maybe we'll just keep the extra. I don't know the situation there. But when I was thinking about this, they didn't give all. You know, and in my heart, I look at that, and I've often thought about this before, that surely they could have just said, look, we're going to give 3/4, and maybe that would have been okay. Or we're going to give 2/3, and maybe that would have been all right. And I actually thought that, you know, that if they had just been honest and as to what they were giving of the price of their land, that maybe it would have been okay. But as I was thinking about this passage recently, I was thinking, well, maybe the Lord told them to give it all. You know, these others were giving all. I don't suppose they were doing it on their own will or on their own accord, but perhaps the Lord had told them to give it all, and they held back. And so it caused me to think of, what are we holding back? You know, are we holding anything back? I mean, we can look at this in a monetary sense, and I'm not really looking at it as such. I think that it's more than that. I think it goes beyond what our bank account is or what's in our pocket as far as what we give. I think it's being sold out. How far are you willing to go to be close with God? How far are you willing to go to have that relationship, that fellowship with God, that communion with the Lord that we've talked about is so precious? The fact that we sing many songs that we can't wait to get to be in the home with God, in the place that He's prepared for us. It's, you know, in our imagination, it's a beautiful place. And I think to myself and I say, well, what am I holding back? I don't want to hold anything back from God. You know, I don't want to get into my own way of thinking and my own mindset and think that I'll go this far, but no further. You know, I've talked to many people over my life and confessing Christians, and many of them have a line as how far they'll go. They'll present their lines to you. They may not know they're doing it, but they'll present their lines to you. I'll go this far, but I won't do that. That's fanatical, or that's too much, or that's above and beyond. And I don't want to think that way. They weren't thinking that way. You know, I look at their mindsets and I think that they wanted to go to the utmost. What more can I give to the Lord? Rather than how much less can I still get by with? You know, I hear people that say, well, I don't think the Lord really cares about this, or I don't think He really cares about that. And I think to myself, and I pray that the Lord will help me not to do that, to wonder what I can get by with. You know, maybe they thought, well, 3/4 is enough. Surely that's a lot. Surely the Lord would be satisfied with 3/4. Or maybe God would even be satisfied with 90%. That's quite a bit. But the reality is that God wants all of us. He wants every bit of us. He wants to have our lives and everything that we possess and all that we are to be at His disposal. It doesn't mean that he's going to use it. It doesn't mean that he's going to take it. But he wants us to have a heart that's willing to give it, to be ready to say yes when he calls, to be ready to say yes when he says, I need you. You know, we have the testimony that says, I want to be all that the Lord would have me to be. Is that really true? Do you really want to be all that the Lord would have you to be? Because then that means there shouldn't be any lines. You know, there shouldn't be any boundaries as to what the Lord can do. I think about it in, you know, I've done it myself, you know. I think, you know, how can I, I don't know. How can I do it and have a job, you know, or how can I do it with a family? I think about missionaries. They go to Africa and Honduras and India and different things, and they have families and they have, you know, but they go. You know, they answer the call. And it's not easy. I know it's not easy. You know, they're living by faith, you know, that the Lord is going to protect them, that the Lord is going to keep them, that the Lord is going to make a way. And that's living close to the Lord. And I think, obviously, not everybody's called to that. Not everybody's called to minister or to preach or to go on the mission fields. But as Brother Philip said once, many are. Not everybody, but I think there are some. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be in my comfort zone. Because where I'm comfortable, I'm confident. And where I'm confident, I'm not relying upon God. And so I want to be relying upon the Lord and asking Him to direct my path, asking Him for the strength and the power and the ability to do what He would have me to do. But for God really to use me, for God really to use you, we got to be sold out. And it can't be 50%, 80%, or 90%. It's got to be 100%. And that's what's so hard. We go to the jail and it's so hard to get them to understand, to realize that it takes 100%. You know, it's more than your best. Our best is not good enough. It takes just being completely and utterly helpless before the Lord and asking Him to move upon our life to do what He will. Matthew chapter 13 kind of relates to this in that it's a situation where it talks about somebody who found something of great price. In verse 44 it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And to me, that's exactly what we're talking about. It's not about money. You know, we all need money to live on. We need money. It's not about money. It's not about giving all your money. It's about giving all of you. It's about being willing to allow the Lord to use your money if that's what He calls you to give. You know, I don't know what situations there are in your life or that are areas of holding back. And I'm sure many of you don't have issues of holding back money or holding back in the efforts of ministry or anything like that. But when there's a struggle in any area of your life, that could be an area of holding back. That could be an area of not letting God have full and complete control. My last scripture passage is in Luke, the chapter 18. It was quoted this morning and spoke about. And again, it's one of those situations where, you know, I go to this passage a lot, and, you know, often the emphasis is the fact that Jesus told him to sell all his possessions. And you can get where you emphasize that it's about possessions, but really it's not. Chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." A lot of times we can look at that and think, wow, that's a lot to ask. It's a lot for the Lord to ask of him. But then I think of the disciples when Jesus called them. It says that they left their nets and their fishing boats and they followed Jesus. You know, they left all behind and followed the Lord. And numerous people did. And so I think about it, and like I said, it's not about finances. It's not about money. It's about giving all. It's about being completely and totally open before the Lord and allowing him to say what he wants in our lives and being willing to obey. You know, one of my thoughts was going towards the, I guess you would say Reformation or even, like you mentioned D.S. Warner and some of those, when I was reading about some of their lives and the way they conducted themselves, and it reminded me of the early church, talking about a man that prayed 10 hours a day, and I was thinking, Lord, how can they do that, But they committed themselves to the Lord, and I was thinking about some of the, we call them traditions now, but I was thinking about some of the things that we hold dear, that we consider areas of service unto the Lord, and perhaps the way we dress and different things, TV or different things of that nature. And you think about those things, and I was thinking about them. And the reality is they wanted to live as close to God as possible. And so that's why they gave up these things. I don't think they just came up and configured in their minds that they were going to do all this stuff. But a situation would come up and they would have to make a decision. And they would have to decide what would be best in service unto the Lord. And so they didn't think much about it. They didn't think much about living modestly or to lay down a TV or going dancing or whatever their situations were. They didn't really think much about it because they were sold out to God. Because they had a heart to serve God to the utmost. And that's what I want us to have. That's what I want to have. Where I'm not wondering what I can get by with, but I'm wondering how can I be more? How can I do more? How can I walk with compassion and love? And, I have a lot to grow in. When it comes down to love and being able to love somebody and to walk in love and to be compassionate and right there to help in time of need, all that is by God's Spirit. We think sometimes that comes naturally, but I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord blesses people with a gift to do that. I believe that it comes by His Spirit. when you can come alongside somebody and encourage them and strengthen them and give them hope in their walk. And I want to be all that the Lord would have me to be. And I know what it means to say that. When I say that, I know that the possibilities are endless. You know, I think of Moses and how he tried to convince the Lord, well, maybe you got the wrong guy, you know. I don't speak real well, you know, and I'm not eloquent, and maybe I'm not too smart, or, you know, I don't think any of that matters to God. Because the ability isn't ours anyways, it's God's. He does it. He provides a way. And so really, there are no excuses. The Lord can do what He wants. It's just a matter of, are we willing to allow Him to? Are we willing to set ourselves down, to lay ourselves down, consider ourselves sacrificed unto the Lord for Him to resurrect us into whatever He would have us to be, to do whatever He would have us do, to have us go and to walk and live a life that He's called us to. This world is temporary. These lives that we live are temporary. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us home. And the idea is that we just want to be ready when He does. And the focus is not here. You know, we sing a lot of songs tonight about heaven and our home that's awaiting us. And in reality, if our focus was on spiritual things, setting our minds on things above and not on things of the earth, I think a lot of things would lose their importance to us. You know, I think of people who find out that they're going to pass away, that they got a chronic illness or whatever, and how it changes them. You know, it changes their mindset, it changes their priorities. You know, they all of a sudden they want to have connections with people. All of a sudden they want to mend fences. They want to have relationships with people that maybe were estranged. And the reality is that's how we should live on a daily basis. To desire that and to have our hearts focused on those things. And so my thoughts tonight is that the Lord would help us, help me, to be sold out. To be 100% dedicated to God. 100% willing to do whatever He would ask me to do. And I know that that's not easy. I know it's not easy to be committed in that way, but I believe it's possible, and I believe that the Lord can do many mighty things through a soul that is fully and completely surrendered to Him. It says, He said that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're at your weakest, the Lord is at His strongest in your life. Because you're completely and totally surrendered to Him and dependent upon Him. So don't get caught up in whether or not you can. Because it's only a matter of whether or not God can. And whether or not you're willing and able to trust Him and have faith in Him. I ask that you all would pray for me. This is not an easy journey for me. And I need the Lord to help me. I need Him to give me strength and courage and the ability to hear from Him and to know how He's leading me. And I pray that you all would continue to grow and to strengthen. And we appreciate the love that you've shown us and the encouragement that you've given us. And we appreciate all that the Lord has done through you for us. And I pray that we can be of help to you by the grace of God. And I look forward to building relationships, to walk in love and compassion and just to grow in grace. She mentioned, I believe it was earlier in the prayer, about the church being the mother, the nurturer. And I didn't really think of it like that, but it's true. We gain strength from one another. And I pray that we would continue to be there for one another and to walk in a full commitment to God and allow Him to work through us and for us. I appreciate your prayers.